Golf Smarter number 507, published on September 22, 2015.
This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Harry's, for guys like you who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code GOLFSMARTER when you check out.
Fine-tuning your swing in the off-season or while recovering from a leg injury with Jim Vinetis.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights to lower your score and raise your golf IQ. To hear the full interview and access hundreds of Golf Smarter episodes, sign up for premium access at golfsmarter.libsyn.com. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jim.
Thanks, Fred. So great to be back. How are you feeling? How's your leg?
Thank you. That's why I'm dragging you into this. I need some help. My leg is getting better. I mean, it's still going to be at least, I was at the physical therapist today, and it's going to be, maybe up to 3 months before I'm at full strength. And, the physical therapist wanted me to get on an exercise bike just so I can start that loosening. I can get back in the pool so I can go swimming again, because golf, walking, and swimming are my main exercises. So I can get back to both of those soon. But I asked him, I said, I'm a golf nut. What do I do about that? And he said, work on your short game and putting.
Well, you know what's cool about the whole thing? It's your right leg that's hurt.
Yes.
And in the swing that I teach.
Tore my calf muscle on my right leg.
Right.
Yeah.
In the swing that I teach, you don't need to use your right leg.
Well, here I am.
Yeah. So whenever a student of mine has some sort of injury in their backside, I always tell them it's a blessing in disguise, because now we get a chance to negate that injured side, since it's already injured anyway, and start to focus on the other side of the body, which is what is used to hit great shots.
Wow. Awesome. Well, I think what I would like to do then is, of course, I want to focus on me, but instead of doing that, how about if we talk about off-season work? I mean, because here you're in Maine right now. It's not where you live, but you spend time there. They don't get to play golf 12 months a year up there, and there's a lot of people on the upper part of the U.S. and Canada who just don't get to play 12 months a year. So this is like a great time, even in the U.K. and in Europe.
Sure.
This is a great time to start thinking about developing a plan for our off-season work.
Yeah, definitely. And it really comes down to, when you don't have to play golf to improve your game. If you can break down exactly what's required of you to play proper golf, you start to realize, especially with the swing that I teach, setup is everything. Setup does not require you to hit a ball. Setup is just about getting comfortable with the setup position, being really familiar with it, using a mirror indoors I always tell all my new students, just before you start swinging a club, look in a mirror and mimic my setup. Start at neutral, pivot into your forward side, grip the club, and then come back to neutral, and then do it again. And it's a way of training yourself to become familiar, because, you know, the swing I teach is different from the traditional swing.
Oh, yes, it is.
So, yes. So to become familiar with it, now, just because it's different doesn't mean that it's wrong or that it's right. It's just different. And once you can adjust your perception for it, then you start to get the value out of it, because it's a different perception. It's kind of like a watch pot never boils. It's like a no-look pass in basketball. You know, it's something where you think you're supposed to swing hard and open up your body on the way through. But actually, if you just close your body down and you don't swing hard at all, you actually make a very gentle strike. You create a lot of power. So during the off season, you could start to reprogram or recalibrate your sense for the swing by emphasizing setup more and recognizing that you're not just setting up randomly, you're actually pre-setting the movements for the swing. So if you can get comfortable in that setup position, then when it comes springtime and you're ready to run and get out and play golf, you already have a leg up, because you've adjusted some perception, you've gone through some perception shift.
We're gonna make this a short episode. We're only going to do about 15 minutes or so because I would like to be able to record a number of episodes with you that we can just I can publish and not have to think about it while I'm going through my recovery. Would that work for you? I think that'd be a cool
idea. I'm so flattered.
Oh, well, I think it'd be a cool idea because I'm so fascinated by your method. And oddly enough, ironically enough, I did send you some video of my swings. You asked me to send and put them on your site. And later that day is when I messed up my leg.
I know.
And then you sent me back going, okay, you're really close. This is really good. And I'm trying to figure out how I can get that video and put it up on YouTube and our site so people can see how you reacted to my stuff. And I liked what you said about it, so I'll show it off. So, so that you wrote back to me and you sent me back the video with your instruction on it saying how good I was doing, and yet I couldn't do anything about it. And I was really frustrated. But I'm so intrigued by the weight shift to the front foot and stillness.
That's it.
Isn't that it in a nutshell?
It really is in a nutshell. You know, staying still is the skill. And so that it's difficult to stay still, especially in a dynamic where the club is moving around you and the club is hurling into the ball at such a high rate of speed. It's difficult to stay still, but it's actually more difficult to try and create the proper movements in the swing. So, you know, movements, and people can relate to this. You think you have it. You go out and you play and it's just perfect. You go to the range and you got it. You walk off the range. You never hit it so good in your life and you're so excited to go play. And then you go play and it's gone. I think that that's because of a focus on movements. Movements are fleeting. So if you walk off the range and you feel like, and you say to yourself, if I move this way, ... I can hit great shots, then I promise you, you don't have a lock on the swing. Because now you have to come out and move properly every day. And moving properly every day with as precise as the golf swing is and as demanding as the dynamic that's required, it's difficult to do. It's why you have it one day and you don't have it the next. Mm-hmm. But when you can establish stillness, look, you might not be still today, but you will be still soon enough. And once you learn how to be still, you will continue to be still. So at that point, you've kind of shed the typical golfer's life of instruction where he tries a different tip every day and it changes mid-round and he has it, and he loses it, and he has it, and he loses it. That is so frustrating to me. And, you know, they say definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
I think if you're trying a movement over and over, that's what's going to create the insanity. Try stillness. Just try staying still. The ball doesn't move, so why should you? So if you stay still, it should be very easy to deliver the club back upon the ball consistently. And the beauty of it is you would think that because you're staying still, you kind of lose some power, but you don't. You actually gain power because of the efficiency of the action, the solidity of the contact, the flex of the shaft that happens when you stay still. So stillness, although it can be difficult, don't shy away from it. Really embrace the opportunity to be able to play golf while holding your weight still. Because what that does is it gets you to a point where you can take the swing for granted. It's why Fred Couples always hits the ball so good. He doesn't move. If you look at his backswing, there's a very tight action, and he's always been referred to as somebody who just picks the club right up into the swing. Well, if you're picking the club right up into the swing, you're not dragging it back and shifting your weight. And that's why he's a great ball striker. He has a really strong grip. He leans into his front side, and he hits out of his left side. It's also why he's a bad putter, because he putts with his left side too.
But you advocate putting on the right, putting your weight on the right side.
Correct. Because it comes down to just dynamics and what's required. Form follows function. The function that you need to putt the ball properly is to hit the ball on an ascending stroke. Well, if you anchor your weight to your back foot, then the pendulum will swing such that by the time the club gets to the ball, the club is ascending. This is great for putting because it makes the ball roll. This is terrible for ball striking because it makes the ball roll. That's how you top a ball. That's how you hit the ball thin or you scull a shot, is by being on the back foot. So that I separate the two. I want my students to play their long game and their short game from their front foot. and I want them to putt from their back foot. Now, if you think about the paradox of professional golfers, you have lots of good ball strikers that are bad putters, and you have lots of good putters that are bad ball strikers. So, like, you know, you look at an Adam Scott who's struggling with the long putter, or a Keegan Bradley. You know, these guys are in their forward side to strike the ball, but they're also in their forward side to putt the ball. So it means that their club is going to descend down through the ball, and the ball's going to skid instead of roll. Oppositely, you take a guy like Brad Faxon, not a very good ball striker, but a phenomenal putter. He's on his back foot. So out of his back foot, he's going to be on his back foot to putt the ball. That's why he rolls it sweet. But then he's on his back foot to swing the club, because that's his relationship to the contact. That's his relationship to the swing. So he's going to hit it poorly from there. Jack Nicklaus was the only one that I can truly say was in his forward side to strike the ball and in his backside to putt the ball.
There's so many, the normal golf swing that people have been trying to do forever, and fight it and just go crazy trying to perfect it. There's so many moving parts, which means that there's so many things that can go wrong, right?
Exactly. That's the thing that makes it hard.
The margin for error is huge.
Huge. Well, the chance of error is huge. The margin for error is really small. And that's because there's so many moving parts. And with all of these moving parts means it's on the golfer to micromanage the movements of those moving parts. And so if you have more than one swing thought, then for sure you're going to struggle hitting good shots, because there's too much to do during the swing in that short of a time. It's too demanding. You know, first thing any golfer should try, whether or not it's my swing or any other swing, is make sure that you only have one swing thought. Keep one point of focus during the swing, because otherwise it's going to be too difficult. But if you can make that point of focus a non-movement, stillness, because you preset the swing in the setup so that you don't have to worry about the movements during the swing, and you can just focus on stillness. Now that swing thought, that single swing thought, becomes really powerful, because it becomes one swing thought for the rest of your life. And you know what? Stillness will mean more to you every day. That's something that all my students recognize. You know, from day one to day they become a scratch golfer, they're thinking about stillness. But as they progress, stillness means more to you. You know, it's something that you can have immediately. It's so simple. But it's something that also takes a lifetime of practice to hone and continue to develop. But you can have it in a moment, because it's just a matter of stillness.
I'm so interested in this. I, I've got 20 minutes of questions right now. So what I'm thinking we're going to do is wrap this up now. Okay. And then come back and do another one, because I just want to continue the conversation. But I was going to make an announcement here, and if we have a commercial this week. And then, now, you sent me video last time from where you were. I'd love to have another video tip from you. If we do a couple of shows, is it possible to pick videos from your website to showcase and show people what you've got on there that... And I would love the first one to be really showing stillness. If we can focus on the stillness.
Absolutely. Well, I'll find one that really defines stillness and displays it. And I'll send you the video file for sure.
Awesome. Okay, great. Great. So thank you very much. And I want to make sure that everyone is familiar. It's jimvenetisgolfacademy.com. And your last name is spelled with a V as in Victor, E-N-E, T as in Tom, O-S. Correct? JimVenetisGolfAcademy.com.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate all your help during this time, and I love hearing what you have to say. This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Harry's. Now, not sure if this is a curse or a blessing, but my office is in my home. And the work that I do as a podcaster and video producer means that I spend most of every day by myself. One of the bonuses of self-employment is that I don't have to shave every day. But my wife doesn't like when I have a beard, and she hates 3-day growth. The great news is that for the first time in 40 years of shaving, I'm not afraid of what my face is going to look like after scraping a blade across my skin, because I'm using the incredible razors manufactured for Harry's in Germany that don't leave me bloody and scarred. These razors are a fraction of the price of blades sold in stores, and I save time because Harry's blades are delivered for free directly to my front door. So there's three quick reasons to use Harry's: a great shave, tremendous savings, and no more last-minute trips to a store because free delivery. Now, if that's not enough, Harry's starter kits include a razor handle with a great look and feel, three razor blades, and a choice of either a shave cream or a foaming shave gel. Now, that's all in one kit, and that's all for less than the cost of a four-pack of replacement blades by the big boys. There are two starter kits to choose from. The Winston is $25, and the Truman is $15. But if you've not shopped there before, then let me make this more appealing. When you order your first kit, either one of them, and enter the coupon code GOLFSMARTER at checkout, you're going to get $5 off your order. Now, here's Andy Katz Mayfield, co-founder of Harry's, and my nephew, with a message to all Golf Smarter listeners.
If you're out there listening and you haven't tried the product, that you should give it a try. And if you go to harrys.com, you'll get $5 off, which is a great value to start with. $5 off makes it an even better value. So you could take the Truman set from $15 to $10 and just give it a try. And we think that you'll like it. It's a great product. It's a great value. And hopefully you'll become a customer for many years to come.
So head over there right now, please. HARRYS.com. That's Harry's.com, and save $5 on your first order when you use what word, Andy?
Golf Smarter.
That's it. Put Golf Smarter, one word, as the code when you check out at Harry's.com. Thanks again for your well wishes. My leg is improving and I'm off the cane, but there's still a bit of a hitch in my giddy up, so I'm a ways off before I can start making full swings. Now, as I explained, while I'm not recording new interviews, Jim Venetis will be our guest over the next few weeks. And during that time, we're going to have a lot of conversations and make each of them different topics on podcast episodes. In topics like improve ball contact and trajectory, taking your new and improved swing from the range to the course, and visualization. And with each episode, Jim has agreed to provide us with an exclusive look at some of his really good videos. Helpful, well-produced. I really like these videos. Anyway, they're available when you're a paid subscriber at JimVenetisGolfAcademy.com. But for us, he's going to give us a peek. You're about to hear the audio, but Jim's allowing you to see this piece on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to Golf Smarter TV on YouTube so that you can get all our new videos as well. So now, here's Jim's take on how to stop micromanaging the position of the club during your swing to achieve better contact.
Your responsibility as a player within the mechanic is to hold the position still. If you can maintain this awareness, then it becomes very easy to answer all the questions that you might have as to how the club travels in the swing. Pay attention to how I communicate to myself as the club travels around me. And then I want you to communicate to yourself the same way. You're going to notice, I don't talk to the movements of my hands and arms. I don't talk to the position of the club. I do talk to the position of my body. It's this that establishes the foundation for your swing, so it's this that you must govern. You might think to yourself, well, Jim, you've been playing the game for a long time, so you don't really have to tell your hands and arms how to move. I can promise you this. If I tried to tell my hands and arms how to move, I would not swing well. I would play poorly, because it's not about telling your hands and arms how to move at any point in this process, not in the beginning, not in the end. So given that, don't waste your time at the beginning by trying to figure out how you're going to communicate to your hands and arms throughout the swing, how you're going to micromanage the position of the club. We are doing the work in the setup. So as you get set up, make sure you pivot onto your left side, and you pivot so that you have a firm position that you could plant on. You pivot so that you feel like you can stay still. Now, once you set this position, all you have to do is maintain that position. You grip the club accordingly, and then as the club begins to move in the swing, all I'm doing is asking myself, am I still? As the club continues throughout the swing, I'm just checking to make sure that my center, My original setup position has been maintained. Am I still? Has my weight left my front side? And you notice that the weight becomes the linchpin. If my weight moves, then my center moves. Once my center moves, I have flaws. It's not about correcting the movement after you've made the movement. It's about avoiding the movement in the first place. So as the club is traveling around me in the swing, the entire time I'm just registering here. I'm checking in with my center to make sure that my center has held its original position. Now you can feel that, or you can actually see it. You can see out of your peripheral vision as you get set up into the shot, you can see your body. Well, if you see your body move during the swing, then you know that your structure has moved. You can anticipate there being a poor shot. The remedy is making sure that in the next swing, you position yourself better in the setup, you anchor yourself more onto your front foot, then you maintain that position throughout the swing. The resulting shot will be a total remedy to whatever flaw you had when you moved your center. Instead of trying to compensate for your moving center by micromanaging the movements of your arms, which is what traditional golf would have you do, eliminate your moving center.